The readings today were readings of hope. No matter how we do or what we do, we are loved. Think about Saul. Now, he persecuted the Jews. He was after them, those who were following the way. And yet Jesus, struck by lightning, spoke to him. His eyes became blinded, and he was sent to wait. Now, I imagine in those 3 days of total blindness, he had sort of a dark night of the soul where he had to figure out what really was important and who really was speaking to him and what did Jesus want. And when you're in that total darkness, darkness with your soul, it has a way of penetrating your whole being. Some get that moment before they receive the call. It's sort of like that moment when you think, is this it? And so Saul waited. And then God spoke to someone else and said, go to Saul. Now, if I was that person who I knew that Saul was persecuting and going to kill me, I'd be the last one to show up. Because, you know, it's really scary. Even though God calls us, sometimes when God is the one speaking, it makes no sense. And sometimes that's how we know it's God speaking. Because when it makes no sense, and we do it, it says, and it feels right in a strange way, we know it's God calling us. My call to seminary, I was going to work in retreat centers when I retired. So I decided I needed credentials in mainstream religion. So I showed up at Ecumenical Theological Seminary with no church. I wasn't going to the Amma Center in Ann Arbor, an ashram. So we're the first day in seminary, and they go around, what church do you belong to? Well, we had Baptist, and we had Episcopalians, and we had all, you know, all different kinds, Methodist. And I said, I belong to the Amma Ashram in Ann Arbor. And they go, what's an ashram? It made no sense for me to be at a Christian seminary wanting a doctorate in theology that they didn't even offer. But yet God sent me there. And here I am today. And it's the last place I'd ever imagined me to be. And yet it's right. And so when it makes no sense, but it makes all the sense in the world, then we know it's God speaking to us. And then there's Peter. Peter screwed up bad time. He walked with Jesus. He was called at the very beginning to be with Jesus. And yet he denied him 3 times because he was scared. I don't know that man. And yet Jesus came back and called him again. And Jesus said, do you love me? And Peter, as much as he denied him, did love Jesus. But he was too scared. But Jesus didn't give up on him. Jesus doesn't give up on any of us. And we can be called at any time, in any way, to do what God's bidding. And Jesus was there at the water. He was fixing breakfast. He was there to continue serving. Imagine, the last thing Jesus needed to do was to feed anyone. And yet, in all humbleness, Jesus fed. And Jesus said to feed his sheep. That's what he asked each one of us to do. And there's many ways we can be fed. We can be fed physically. Last Saturday, when you went to Spirit of Hope and fed those who were hungry. And I'm sure many of you would have rather stayed in Saturday and slept in, or would have rather just work in the garden. And yet you showed up and you did what Jesus asked, feed my sheep. And when we bring food in and put it in the baskets, we continue to feed. And when we bring food in for coffee hour, we continue to feed. It's a way of feeding people spiritually. There's a way of feeding people emotionally. Peter and his disciples were confused. If I had been on the emotional roller coaster Jesus had put me on, I would have went fishing too. Because it was the one thing they knew how to do. It was the one thing in their life that made sense. Sometimes you get fish, sometimes you don't. But there's something about doing something that feels what you know and what you know best. And so when we're grieving and when we're confused, we return to what we know. That's why many people return to church when they lose somebody. Because it's familiar. It's comfort. It gives us something to do when we don't know what to do. So they were there fishing. And Jesus knew it. And he was there. They didn't know he was there until the light started to shine, until the sun rose. But he was always there. Jesus is always with us. Even in our darkness, Jesus is there. And Jesus feeds us spiritually. Imagine today, when you come to the altar for Eucharist, that Jesus is here, present. Know that Jesus is here and is feeding you, feeding your soul spiritually, giving the nourishment that you need to be able to do what you have to do, whatever that call is. Sometimes we sit with people because they're lost or grieving or just need a companion. That's feeding them. Sometimes we feed people physically, a cup of coffee, conversation. Sometimes we just have to be with people. Jesus said, feed them. And our job is to find the time and the place that we listen to the call. It can be like lightning that strikes us, or it can be just looking out and seeing what needs to be seen, Jesus at the shore. It can be somebody that comes up to us and said, I need. But Jesus calls each one of us to serve, and to serve in our own way. And it can be numerous ways. So our job is to know, like Saul, like Peter, it doesn't matter what we do or who we are and how we've screwed up in the past. Jesus loves us and wants us to continue serving. Serving each other and serving God. That's what we're asked to do. In many, many ways and many forms. And we're really blessed that way. That's the hope. The hope that there's always going to be Jesus in our life, whether it be in the form of each one we meet, or if it may be a silent voice that we hear in the dark, in our sleep. Wherever it is, in whatever road we travel, Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us home. Jesus calls us to serve. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus loves us. And that's the best gift we can ever have. Amen.